I do some other rituals before the race. I call it one-to-one with demons. The conversation with demons. I do that always before the race. It's my 30 minutes trying to sort out my thoughts.
This is The Medal Set.
Hi, this is Dawn, an ultra cyclist and sports PR specialist.
And I'm Afshan, an endurance athlete and journalist.
And we're on a quest to bring you stories of tenacity, courage, and mettle
from athletes in the Middle East and beyond.
Today's guest is a relentless endurance athlete, unafraid and willing to take on any ultra feat anywhere in the world without a moment's hesitation, except maybe one with heights involved. For Ivana Kolarik, the harder the challenge, the more exciting it gets. Despite being in sports and fitness all her life, she only took up competitive sports in her 30s when she moved to Dubai, but is now one of the most prolific endurance and adventure athletes in the region.
She's taken on the grueling World's Toughest Race, Eco Challenge Fiji, the 386-kilometer Moab 240 Endurance Ultra Trail Run in Utah, and the Spartan World Championships in 2021, just to name a few. Most recently, she's completed the inaugural Trans-Balkan Race, a 1,300-kilometer off-road ultra-cycling race. We've been following Ivana's journey as she's taken on challenges from everything from ultra-running to ultra-cycling to OCR, all this while being a full-time coach to endurance athletes.
She doesn't only live by the mantra of just do it, but creates an environment where her peers and athletes can dare to do the same.
In this episode, Ivana talks to us about keeping her limitless energy for the outdoors alive since childhood, all her character-defining races, some of her start-line rituals, and the power of positive attitude and mindset to move mountains in anything you set your mind to. Hi, Ivana. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the Medal Set podcast. It is super, super exciting to have you as one of our first guests.
Wow.
I know. We'll get into a lot of different topics around you as an athlete and some of the stuff that you've done recently. But I wanted to say you first came on my radar a few years ago through work. Before I'd even known you, I was working on a project with X Dubai, and it was about highlighting women OCR athletes. And you were in this video, I think, you know, with a team of you in Nepal, just kind of doing all kinds of like obstacles and running and stuff. And I just remember thinking like, wow, these like women are serious. They're so tough and graceful and powerful. So that was my first introduction to you. Fast forward a couple of years, you know, I go to the gym where you work, and now we have a few things in common about ultra cycling.
Yeah. And I found out about you from like athletes that I was training for a challenge, you know, to climb Mount Kilimanjaro. And you used to train with some of these athletes for the, I think you were training for the World's Toughest Race.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, that's how I found out about you. And then I saw that video, you know, of the World's Toughest Race in Fiji. And I was like, this is insane. Like, I couldn't even wrap my head around, you know, how can someone kind of push their limits, like mentally and physically, like, you know. And then a couple of years later, you know, like Dawn, I kind of found an endurance community, and I found you. And then I kind of like started understanding your mindset a little bit. And I think we were very excited to explore that mindset on this podcast, you know, because it's insane, some of the things that you've done.
You did a good research, girls.
Of course, we do our due diligence. I guess you've had a really busy summer already when it comes to sports and athletics. Yep. Like early July, you did the Spartan Race Ultra in Morzine in France, 51 kilometers, 3,700 meters of elevation, 60 obstacles. We were talking earlier about me skipping obstacles in a Spartan race, just cheating myself. I'm sure you didn't because you're amazing. And you finished third in that race.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, wow. And then not even, I think it was a month earlier, and we'll talk more about this race in particular, you did the first Trans-Balkan self-supported ultra cycling race, and that was 1,300 kilometers off-road.
Honestly, sometimes I'm not even aware. When you mention all these things, like, oh, wow, that sounds, wow, amazing.
Who did that?
Me. Well, we're here to remind you, Ivana, how awesome these challenges are.
But sometimes it's funny because I don't see it that way at all. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like it's challenging. Of course, after the race, you feel horrible and it's hard. But going into these events, I don't have this mindset like at all. It doesn't scare me
at all.
And it just, I think but just because I'm trying to be brave without thinking, I just go through these challenges.
Yeah, I think like sometimes it's just do it, right?
Just like
it's
just like don't
move,
think.
Like move. Yeah, don't think about it too much and do it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I guess how many events have you participated in this year or will participate by the end of the year?
This year, well, so far I was thinking I haven't done a lot of races this year. Maybe I did. I did a couple of local races here in Dubai, and they were mostly Spartan races and some ultra running races. Well, I would say maybe five.
Wow.
In total, which is not a lot, honestly. Like, I remember some years, just before COVID, I used to race literally every single weekend in race season. So that was tough. And at some point, it felt like work. Because, like, unbelievable. Like, every weekend I'm racing, and I got a little bit tired of it, like, mentally more. And I decided, okay, I'm not going to do that much. And COVID happened, and obviously no one was able to race. But this year, I picked a couple of very important races, and I focused on them. One of them was the Trans-Balkans race, and I trained for that for 4 months. I haven't raced in between, so I really focused on preparing. But if there is a short race, a running race, that I know that I can do without any particular training, like, let's say, Spartan 5K race, I'll go out and do it. So,
okay.
Because I also enjoy it.
Yeah.
But other than that, not many big projects. However, end of year is a bit different.
Yeah.
So the next 6 months, I'll have a couple of more projects because it's also race season in Europe.
Yes.
And all the championships are happening second half of the year. So I'll have a little bit more busy schedule than I used to have in terms of racing. But I'll say maybe five another important races.
Wow. Oh. Some people build up their whole lives like to do one, you know.
Yeah, but it accumulates, like, you know.
Just, yeah, it does.
It didn't start like that.
Yeah.
But obviously, I've been training continuously for years.
Right.
And it's not that just I need to, you know, prepare specifically for
it. Right.
It's the same type of training for ultra running.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, OCR is a little bit different. You just have to add a little bit of strength training, which I already do as part of my routine. So it's not an extra hours added. So it's just kind of natural flow.
It's built into your lifestyle.
Yes, correct.
Athletes you train with, and I train with them too, they either call you crazy or they call you a power woman, right?
Oh.
But does that accurately describe your drive to kind of sign up for such challenges and kind of even, you know, smash them out of the park, really?
Well, I don't know. Like, I'd never thought of myself either. Well, crazy maybe, but power woman, not at all. What drives me is challenging my limits, genuinely. That's what drives me, and adventure.
Yeah,
I think it's all about being curious,
mm-hmm.
not really proving myself as much as I just want to try and test it out. That's why people see me in so many different sports, because I am actually all of these sports. I can fit into cycling and running, and I really like exploring different options and different sports, and I do enjoy all those sports. I'm literally like that. Like, I can't say, like, am I an ultra cyclist or ultra runner? I'm not quite sure. Or maybe
you're
I'm
all
OCR.
Of those things.
But I am all of these things, actually.
And I love that.
I love the whole I am all of these sports.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah, but it's true. And I think you shouldn't define yourself in one sport.
Right.
That's the beauty, especially of endurance sports, that you can try and test so many different things, and you never can get bored because the base is the same. You go out there and you just test your limits and just explore how far you can go. It doesn't matter if it's cycling or running or kayaking or whatever. It's just the same mindset.
But have you always had this mindset? So, like, just taking a step back,
like,
have you always been this sporty? Like, as a child, did you grow up with sports in your family?
Well, it's a tricky question to answer, but I'll try to explain. So I've always been sporty. I've always been having this crazy energy inside of me. I like to call it that way because I always want to do something. I always want to go out. I want to explore. I want to train. It's the energy that I had since I was a kid. I'm just restless. And all my family members know about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that drive that I had as a kid is still inside of me. I've tried many different sports when I was a kid, but my parents were not really into sports. I grew up in artistic family where I have a lot of poets, artists, musicians, sculptors. So sport was not a thing in my family at all.
But were you supported in the process?
As a kid, my parents put me in any single sport that they could, just kind of to test out, just because I had so much energy that they had to do something with me.
Were you like running around the house and like, your mother's like, get her out.
Around the table. Like, it's always running. Like, there is a joke that I never walk up the stairs or down the stairs, even now. Like, it's just running all of the time. It's just, I can't stop.
Always moving.
Yeah, it's always moving. So when I started with taekwondo, basketball, volleyball, all sorts of sports, and all my coaches were like, oh my gosh, she's really good. You have to keep her. But my parents were like, no, let's shift her to another sport. Like, just because they didn't want to keep me in sports, because they thought like, yeah, it's fun, but what do you do with sports?
You can't have a career in sports.
Yeah, that kind of mindset they were going through. And I can't blame them, because obviously as a parent, you want the best for your kid. Mm-hmm. And since no one is really sporting in the family, they were thinking like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just activity.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, it's a hobby. Let's try to get her into other things that are important. And that's how my childhood actually went. Like, I just was changing from sport to sport. And in the end, like, okay, there is no more time in your schedule to do sport. Oh, sorry. There is no more sport. That was the story, kind of. And believe it or not, maybe since I was a teenager till my 30s, I did fitness, like aerobic and gym, but I stopped running and I stopped competing. Actually, I didn't compete ever when I was a kid.
Really?
I did some school activities like athletics, but I think I had this energy bottled up inside of me that exploded when I was 30, when I moved to Dubai and I did my first race.
And this was when, back in 2015?
Yes, correct. That's when I did my first Spartan race. Like, I haven't been running, like, I just did a race with the team, with my team I was working at in the gym here in Dubai. And I was like, okay, let's sign up for this race. Let's push all the coaches to do the race. And I happened to be third in that race. And it was 13 kilometers. I was like, I didn't run 13 kilometers in ages. Right. Like, not a chance.
Yeah.
But somehow I think all this energy that was kind of bottled up inside of me, like,
boom, just exploded.
Exploded.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, unbelievable. Like, wait a second. If I actually train for this, and I haven't had a clue what Spartan race, by the way, like, scared of heights. I don't know.
What type of Spartan race was that, the first one that you've done?
It was a super. It was back then it was 13 plus kilometers with the obstacles. Now they have 10 instead of 13. And it was like, and petrified of heights. Like, did someone mention that I have to go climb the rope or like go over the cargo net? Like, I was literally freaking out in the race. But I don't know, like, somehow I was just kept running. I had fun, like, I won't lie. It's a lot of adrenaline. And I got third, and I knew I'm third. And I was like, okay, I have to go back to work. Like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
And then one of the colleagues like, where are you? You're supposed to be here on the podium. It's like, what podium? Like, this is a competitive race. Come back here. And
he was in Sharjah.
No. Well, I knew I was third. I checked the results, like, okay, third, bye. So they had to collect trophy for me. And then everyone at work was like, oh my God, unbelievable. Like, how did you do
this? Champion.
I don't know. And from there, I was like, okay, well, I still have it inside of me. Like, this energy still runs in my veins. Let me try to do something.
And is that when you started saying, oh, I can push my limits. Oh, I can probably sign up for this. So after that, what was the first race you thought that, oh, I should sign up for this to kind of really push and test my limits?
Definitely in the next Spartan race.
Yeah.
But also because the guys at work were like, okay, well, maybe you can compete for us. Like, let's do the staircase race. And they literally pushed me in every single thing that they could. Mm. And that's how, like, okay, but like, I do this. I'm good in this as well. Oh, and this as well. I was like, okay, well, let me just try to figure myself out. Mm-hmm. Let me try one thing only. So I got not stuck, but I've chosen to do Spartan races. Because it was naturally, I'm a good runner.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I have this in me. But also, I love fitness. And that's my background. That's part of my background.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So combining these two was like a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
But then along the way, obviously, I was discovering what I'm good at, because I actually didn't know what I'm good at, because I haven't done sports competitively.
Right.
And I've discovered along the way that I'm better in longer distances.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I went through ultra running and ultra cycling. That's just was kind of natural.
I think it's quite interesting. I think all three of us have a background where we've had this period where it's just been fitness.
Yes.
You know, and then
it's
been fitness, and for many different reasons, like, we were chatting earlier about, you know, for me, it was staying slim. You know, I'm of a certain generation.
Yeah. Fitness, that was the thing.
Rather than even being healthy, you know, now it's definitely about health. But And then entering into the competitive arena, and it's, for me personally, it's been such a shift of joy and competing and camaraderie and, you know, competition.
It's a different level of the whole emotion. Like, it's just, same path. I agree.
So we'll talk about the trends Balkan race in a minute, but how did you go from Spartan then to ultra running? Because you have competed in some monster ultra run
distances. Oh, God.
Talk us through the first ultra run.
That was funny too. Well, I signed up for the, after Fiji, which is the Eco Challenge race, we can talk about that as well. I wanted to do another race, and I was trying to find a teammates to do the race with me. There was an adventure race in Croatia that was supposed to happen.
A running race?
No, adventure race. A combination of running, cycling, kayaking, rope, navigation.
Similar to the one in Fiji.
Similar, correct.
Right.
But in adventure race, there's not much running. Like, it's more hiking and more endurance in a different way. And then a teammate, it was Luke. I got to know Luke, my teammate, my boyfriend now. And he's an ultra runner. That's his background. Right. I was like, oh my God, he's an ultra runner. It's so amazing. And I was admiring ultra running because, wow, it's impressive, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how they can run that long. Come on.
This is my thought.
And now that you're that person, how can she run that long?
That was so funny. So what happened that he was part of inner fight. And Akbar, one of the members, you know Akbar, he ran 200 kilometers in Al Kudra. During COVID.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yes.
Because he signed up for UTMB. UTMB got canceled. So they decided as a community to organize a run in Al Kudra. It was 28th of August.
Two years ago, I believe.
And since Luke was a part of the community, and he was like, I'm doing this run. Marcus asked me to do 100K. I'm not sure if I'll do 100, but I know he didn't train because we were trained together. He runs, but not that long in his training. And why don't you join us? I said, oh, I don't know. Let's do 50. So like, okay, I haven't run in ages that long, but maybe I can do 50.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of made a deal at the beginning of the week. And then we are supposed, now it's Thursday, Friday is the run. And I'm texting him in the evening, like, hey, listen, I'm not sure about 50K. Maybe I do 25. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? You said you're going to do 100. I said, no, what are you talking about? Like, not a chance.
He tricked you into
this. Yeah, I said, no. He said, trust me, it's easier than you think.
Trust me.
He's like, oh, my God. Like, do I want to impress this guy? So
clearly, the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think so. So by the next day, I already convinced myself, okay, that's it. I'm running 100K.
Wow.
In my head, it was like, I'm
done.
I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I ran 100K.
You just did it.
I just did it. And even Luke, later on, he admitted like, oh my God, I was, you know, so tired after the first, because you have to do two laps of 50. Like, I was like, oh, I can't
50,
do
it. So you just did the cycle track?
Yeah, twice. Oh, yeah, twice. Well, the Akbar did 200. Like, it's even crazy.
Yeah.
But it was like, okay, I've actually never officially done a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I ran 40 kilometers on my own and 50 kilometers, but
I've not never, in a race setting.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I did 100K. And I felt pretty good. Like, I was surprised.
Wow.
Because Luke was like, you know, in ultra marathons, it's not only running. There is a lot of walking as well.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I did my first ultra marathon. And then from there, okay, sign me up.
You're hooked.
You're like, I was addicted.
Hooked. Yeah.
And what was the next ultra running event that you've done since?
Next run, ultra running event was Mount Sana. Yeah, it was a 60 kilometer in the mountains. Obviously, Al Kudra is really flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more like a running race than it's a trail running race. But I'm really trail running girl. Like, I don't consider I'm a road runner.
Yeah.
I run on the road, but I'm a trail runner.
Right.
And it was Mount Sana. And on that race, you know, there is a couple of names already in ultra running community that I know about.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I'm going to this race. I'm not scared of anyone. Like, well, they can be strong, but I'm also strong.
Yeah.
I believe in myself. And I was like, I'm going to win this.
That's what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, amazing.
I actually got second overall.
Oh, wow. So, that's amazing. Because I just wanted to know, like, do you sign up to win or do you sign up to enjoy?
To enjoy.
To experience.
Yeah, yeah, to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the most important thing because otherwise it would be really a job.
Yeah.
But I love doing this.
All right.
And over time, you get to know yourself better.
Right.
And I know what works for myself, like what kind of thoughts I'm going to be producing in my head to motivate myself. So I never go into race with pressure, like putting pressure on myself. I just go into the race like, I know I'm going to enjoy this.
That's right. Such a great mindset because you really meet yourself
on
these races. You really 100% kind of learn what you're made of. And I think that's a nice segue to talk about one of the more recent races that you've done. As I mentioned before, the Transbalkan. It was the first edition of this race, the first year that they did it. Pictures looked amazing.
It was
It looked stunning. It was off-road, which I'm kind of like wrapping my head around because I'm like, oh. So you did a hardtail mountain bike.
Yeah.
100 people started. And
I
you
think
were
a little bit less than 100. 100 signed up, but maybe let's say 5, 10 maximum didn't show up.
So like say 90 something people were at the start line. And you did it as a pair with Audrey.
Yes, correct.
Were 2 out of 43 that finished.
I mean, those images of you wading through mud and, you know, getting your bike through places unimaginable, you know, in the dead of the night, in the dark, with lights on, they're just... images.
We'll get into some of the challenges of this race because a friend, I went to a talk recently that Ivana had done and a friend in France was asking me, what was the highlights? I was like, oh, you know, landmines, beer, a big sign warning of all the types of snakes. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, but the funny thing, you don't think about that when you're in the race.
No.
If I would listen to someone's story telling me all this, I was like, oh, I'm petrified. Like, how guys you do it? But when you're in the race, you don't think about it. It's just so enjoyable. Yeah, honestly, like you don't think about all these things.
Before we go into some of the details of the race, so this race to me looks really tough. You know, like in terms of the mere fact that, you know, I think 50% of the people had scratched at some stage in the race. It is a tough, tough race. And I'm sure a lot of those people were very experienced ultra cyclists who scratched because it takes a certain person to sign up for a race like that. And this is your first first ultra cycling race, which is amazing. But I was curious because you've done, you know, quote unquote, the world's toughest race.
Yeah.
Which was tougher? Was it the Eco Challenge, the world's toughest race, or was it the Transbalkan?
It was tougher, the Eco Challenge.
Was it? Tougher. Oh, so you were prepared then.
Well, the thing is, because Eco Challenge was the first really long race for me, the first challenge, real endurance challenge.
Right.
So maybe I was not mentally ready to what I'm going to face there. And I think this was a second, but I did more ultra endurance events before doing ultra cycling. Mm-hmm. So I knew what to expect and I learned a lot about myself in Eco Challenge. But Eco Challenge was shocking.
Was it?
It was really shocking. Like, what the heck happened? Like, what's happening? Like, I'm going to escape from here. Like, literally.
We might have to get you back for a whole episode on the Eco Challenge. I'm intrigued now.
It was shocking. Yeah. But this was really pleasant. Like, if you go through my photos, I've put some photos on my Instagram. Like, I'm literally smiling on all of the photos because it was...
You're smiling with food, a lot of those.
Yeah. Sure. I was fed before the taking photo.
My race strategy for my second race was like, feel anything and eat.
Feel
tired, eat.
You know me. You know
food
the drill.
Makes you really happy on these races.
Change your mindset completely from,
the power of like a Haribo or like... like a croissant? Oh my goodness.
This episode is supported by Deep Dive Dubai.
We know that our listeners love awesome adventures. And take it from us, it doesn't get more awe-inspiring than the world's deepest pool.
Measuring a record-breaking 60 meters, Deep Dive Dubai gives both scuba and free divers the ability to discover an underwater world complete with the latest in dive technology and an abandoned sunken city.
For those new to diving, like me, it's the ideal place to get started. And for those experienced to expert divers out there, it's the perfect place to hone your skills with exceptional facilities, expert staff, and state-of-the-art technology.
Since it opened in 2021, it has mesmerized visitors and continues to deliver extraordinary experiences 7 days a week. For more information and to book your experience, visit deepdivedubai.com.
How did you like come to sign up for this race?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, like I think Eco Challenge opened eyes to endurance sports and completely different level of hardness in sports, like of just what body can sustain.
Yeah.
And from there, I actually got to understand what's mountain biking, because mm-hmm. it was a long leg of mountain biking, and there's a lot of mountain biking adventure racing. And from there, I fell in love with mountain biking. So like, okay, this is so cool. I would love to do only mountain bike race. Mm-hmm. And then COVID happened. Like, oh, there is no races. And I was like planning to do some mountain bike trip. And I always was so curious about bikepacking, like, because that's what an amazing way to explore a region.
100%.
Just you're on your own, it's in nature. And I felt like this is so thrilling, I have to do something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to brainstorm, what can I do? And I was like, okay, maybe I can cross the whole Africa. Like, all these thoughts came to my mind, like, okay, but maybe before I attempt crossing Africa or any continent, let me just do the race first, right? So that would be helpful just to see if I can do it. And I was like looking through the list of all ultra races. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. It's my region, it's Balkans. This race literally calls my name. Like,
so not completely unknown, you know, you're in a known.
I didn't even think about the distance or elevation. Like, elevation. That came later on. Like, you know, elevation came like, oops, I forgot to
check how much of this is going to be above ground level.
No, this race, it's calling my name. I have to do it. I was so excited when I found this race. Like, I didn't even think about anything else. Like, I'm signing up. So, yeah, that's how it happened, I guess. And I pulled Audrey, like, rope her into signing up as well. I was like, oh yeah, because we were actually supposed to do some bikepacking trip together.
Right.
Like, okay, it's natural that we do it together because we are both into mountain biking. And
did you meet her through mountain biking?
Yes, exactly. That's how I met her. So that was the first person I met. Because after Fiji, I signed up for the mountain bike race straight after. And Audrey was the first person to meet. And there are not many females in mountain bike races here in the region. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I've got introduced to the trails, and he kind of got me into her world of mountain biking. So it was very natural then for us to do this race together.
How was the race? And, you know, what were the challenges you faced mentally, physically? What were your thoughts on the start line?
Yeah, like, take us to the start.
Yeah, take us to the start line. I mean,
funny.
Do you have like a ritual,
I do a lot of rituals. No, the funny thing about race, well, you guys know you're racing. You're always so nervous and so anxious about the race, let's say week or two. I don't know if you have that kind of anxiousness about, like, you're worried about this and that. Like, you just, your thoughts are always...
Well, I can't sleep at night.
Yeah.
Like, I struggle to sleep at night
the day before a race. In general, you're very nervous and anxious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had, obviously, it's a new thing, and you don't necessarily acknowledge that, but you feel it through your body. Like, you feel it something
physically.
Or
you don't want to put words to it.
Yeah, you don't put words. You don't even maybe think about that, but you know, like, you know, this. Where is this nervousness coming from? You know. But funny thing, as soon as I landed in Slovenia, where was the start line, I was like, it's happening. Yeah. So I got completely relaxed, excited. Start line was just like so relaxing.
Great.
I was so relaxed. Like, I didn't have any, you know, thoughts of, oh, this
like
is gonna...
jitters. Or
not
anything.
At all.
Oh.
But I do some other rituals before the race. I didn't
Which
have
are?
This. I call it one to one with demons.
Oh. One to one with demons?
Yeah,
do tell.
The conversation with demons. I do that always before the race. Like,
right.
Literally, it's my 30 minutes, like, trying to sort out my thoughts. Because in those, let's say, week or two before the race, there's always something creeping up.
Yeah.
Just like insecurities, like, or you just blame yourself, you didn't train enough, or this is not good.
You're questioning
good
everything that you're doing.
Exactly. That's very common, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just try to calmly collect all these informations that are coming to my mind. Sometimes I write them down.
Okay.
Sometimes I just, okay, okay, I get you. And then with my 30 minutes with the demons, I just literally, all these creepy things and thoughts that come to my mind, okay, I just face myself with those questions. Okay,
right.
What are you afraid of? Why? It's stupid. Like, come on, give me a break. And I try to reassure myself that all these things are just nonsense.
I can totally relate because I don't do that. I love that, though. What is it, talk with demons?
Because these demons are going to creep out at the start line.
For sure.
I don't want them there.
Yeah.
For sure.
So you kind of take 30 minutes out and address them.
It's like literally... I'm buzzing while I'm doing that. I'm full of adrenaline. Sometimes I cry a little bit because I'm also scared of what's going to happen. But then I'm like, okay, I'm ready.
Take a deep breath.
It's a very pragmatic approach. Like, I think when I'm doing, you know, a race or ahead of a race, I think about what could go wrong and just break it down. Like,
break it down.
Is that the word?
Literally.
Yeah. How bad would that be? Oh, it's not that bad. You know, like, oh, I could deal with that. And I think you're quite similar. Like, I know I can deal with whatever comes my way.
Exactly.
I'll figure something out anyway.
Exactly. I have conversation with my inner child. Mm-hmm. And because all these insecurities are...
Come from there.
Yeah, my inner child. Like, okay, what are you scared of? And I'm trying to have conversation with myself, myself adult and myself child. Being insecure and scared and, you know, I don't belong here. These ladies are so much more experienced.
Yeah.
You know, all these insecurities. And then you try to reassure your child that it's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have fun.
Yeah.
What can go wrong? And literally on the start line, every time I'm on the start line, I feel like a boss.
You become light.
Literally. You become light because you shut off a big... Something that was
on your chest. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So I didn't even have a conversation with demons before Trans Balkans. I was so relaxed.
That's nice.
Because also I couldn't put any expectations on myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because
it was
my
first ultra cycling
and
race.
I just really wanted to enjoy. Of course, there was always doubts and what if that happens. But like, what if it doesn't happen? So why would I think in advance?
What could go wrong? What could go right?
Yeah. Whatever comes up, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
I guess this is a nice entry into talking about mental resilience. And I think, you know, with these races, mental resiliency is maybe more important than physical ability.
Especially in endurance sports.
Yeah. And in an ultra race or endurance sports, how do you think you can build that? Or how have you built it?
Through experience, purely. I think I came to this stage by learning a lot about myself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I like to, when I finish the race, okay, I think about, okay, what did go wrong in this race? What was good? And kind of trying to dissect everything and have this active conversation with myself, how I can improve things. Because I used to come to a start line and I was like, I am not going to finish this race. This is going to be so hard. Look at these ladies. Like, oh my God, they look so pro and I'm not. And it's, you know, just all these things that, why, what would I do this to myself? Because these insecurities... are within us. And even when I never think about that in my like real life, like in my daily basis, I don't think about these things, but I guess that's so deep inside of you that just comes out. So I learned a lot along the way. And there are some races there is actually one race that was kind of like a tipping point in my building my mental resilience. I gave up in one race. It was the first time I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this. I dissected the whole event. And I was honest with myself. You also have to be, you have to know yourself. You have to be honest.
Yeah.
Some people are nice to themselves to the point that they just want to cover up everything.
They tell themselves stories.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm really like, I built this. Like, I honestly worked a lot to be where I am when it comes to my mental toughness. And that's why I'm so relaxed now, because I wasn't, but I've trained for it. So I used to have something called accountability mirror. And after the race, especially when this race happened where I decided to pull out, I cut myself badly, like a cooking accident, literally. And I had Spartan race next day, and I had hand rip open, and I just tried to cover it up. And I decided to pull out because I had a bandage on my hand that ripped open, and I was not able to do the obstacles, which was just an excuse for myself. I knew I was insecure, and I knew someone else probably can beat me, and I'm not going to be the first one. Mm-hmm. So I decided to pull out of the race. But we'll have a reason because, you know, I have a ripped hand in here, so I can't do it. But that's not the reason.
Right.
The real reason was deep inside of me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was honest with myself. You can cover that up. We're very good at lying ourselves.
Yeah.
But I literally dissected and just put it on the mirror. You did this.
Right.
And what you need to do to be better is to do that and this and that. Just face it. Read it. That's true. And I think just being honest with yourself all of the times, not pampering yourself. Obviously, I'm always nice to myself, but I also am honest to myself.
Reflective,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that helped me to be where I am now, because I always try to dissect things. Mm-hmm. And if these things again happen in the event, okay, I've been here. I understand the pattern, because, you know, when things get hard, our brain is like, no, we'll do it a different way because, you know, I want to protect you. But you recognize the pattern that your brain is telling you and you can prevent it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you learn along the way a lot about yourself. You know how you're going to react.
Yeah. I think it's interesting you talk about learning along the way, because we were talking about endurance sport and how experience matters, right?
Yeah.
So you've done this and now you've come to a point where you're like, oh, okay, I've done this. I've, you know, made these mistakes in the past, I can avoid them for the next race. And the more races you do, you don't only build your physical resilience, you've now started building that hard mental resilience as well, yeah, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not really what sports you're doing, as long as it's endurance sports. It's all about your mindset. Yeah. Physical fitness is important, obviously. More physically fit you are, more mentally resilient you will be, because it's easier, right, to deal with pain because you're already fit.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's your mindset. If you decide to stop because your brain tells you to stop, you'll stop.
Yeah.
No matter how strong or weak you are, you're going to stop. It's just that mental mindset is, I think, it's the key in endurance events.
What I'm interested in as well is that, let's take Transbalkan, for example. Did everything go as planned?
Did you have a race plan?
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, did you have a race plan? And did everything go as planned? And then, like, how do you think on your feet when things probably aren't going your way, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's what I learned in Fiji, in Eco Challenge. So you can have the best plan in the world, but most likely it's never going to go according to your plan.
Yeah.
I actually avoid having plans.
Okay.
So just see how it goes. But because I was racing in pair, so it was good to kind of reassure each other that, you know, let's try to follow a certain pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried at the beginning, but then obviously there's so many factors that are in the race, like the weather, the
which
food.
You can't account for.
Yeah.
And you're training here in the UAE, which is so different.
You know,
I think we've had this conversation in the past as to, like, you're training on flat, you're training in a different environment.
Yeah.
It's so safe here. You cannot be prepared for what's to come. You cannot be prepared.
Yeah, but I think learning from previous experiences from my other races is just that, the positive attitude and positive mindset, not end of the world situation, is what's going to get you on track, and just you're going to be moving forward. Like, it's just not end of the world. Whatever happens, like, okay, let's try to find another plan. Because I think being able to adapt is the key.
Yeah.
Totally. It's just, and obviously, like, okay, not end of the world situation, like negativity.
One of the things that I tell myself in a race is, like, I paid for this experience.
Yes.
Like, don't complain, you paid for this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You spent a lot of money.
You signed up for this. you put us through this.
Yeah. Why am I here? Oh, it's you. You've done this yourself. So, yeah, I think, you know, just having a plan, but, you know, realizing that you need to figure things out as they come along.
Exactly.
You mentioned, you know, doing this as a pair. One of the things I was surprised to learn about is that you guys didn't really train together before the race. And I think, you know, it's such a, you go through the gamut of emotions in these races.
Totally.
And it's a real gamble to do it with another person in general, especially someone you haven't really trained with. Like, I mean, how did you guys manage that?
It's interesting because even when you train with someone together, you can't, you really can't predict the emotions that they will feel, right? So, like, not training with someone.
That's what I was mostly scared about, because I, again, compared this to Eco Challenge in Fiji, where it was four of us. Obviously, more people you are in a team, it's harder to manage everyone's emotions, including your own emotions. Even though we trained for this race together in Fiji, like, it was a bit of a disaster, you know, with this, everyone has different rhythm of sleeping, of eating, also endurance engine. Some people get tired quicker, some people can push for shorter time, some people can push for longer time. It's a really difficult thing. And because of that race, I was like, oh my God, we're not going to make it. Like, I didn't tell Audrey all these things, but
You were managing yourself.
Well, I was trying to tell her in a couple of times, really have a serious conversation to tell her, like, this is really what scares me a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't think this is going to work. I've tried, but she haven't done any race in pair or any endurance race. So she was not actually very aware of it, which maybe was good. Because she was like, okay, well,
ignorance is bliss. Yeah. Not knowing enough, too much sometimes, just knowing enough.
So somehow it worked.
It's great.
I think because what I was saying always, that it's very important that both of us are on the same page with, okay, we go through this with a positive mindset.
Right.
Like, beforehand, I was like, whatever goes wrong, we can acknowledge it, but let's not feed on it and complain about it, like, let not just get the negative energy out of the event.
Yeah.
Because I also said that doesn't work well with me, because complaining is just gonna drain you down.
Yeah,
totally.
Like, it's not gonna change your circumstances.
Not gonna change circumstances.
Right?
Like, it's just gonna, You know, well, obviously, like, one positive thinking and one negative thinking. Negative thinking is going to kill the positive no matter what. Right. Just a matter of time. But we were on the same page. So we both wanted to finish the race, which is also important. The same goal. Okay, yeah. A goal is to finish the race no matter what. I mean, obviously, things happen. And if we don't finish, we don't finish. But we aim to finish the race. And being positive, I think that helped a lot. And somehow we found the dynamics along the way. I mean, I don't think we were fighting.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't think we did. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, I don't know anyone who I could do a race with, I think. Like, maybe that's a me problem.
Yeah, you always call yourself a lone wolf.
That's a me problem.
You never know.
Well, the funny thing, even my boyfriend was like, not a chance. You can't do a race with anyone. No. Like, okay, you're too competitive. It's going to be so annoyed.
Yeah, but you have done races with Luke, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, well, but because we train together all the time, so we know each other.
Yeah.
And we know each other so well that sometimes, like, he was like, you go, I stay. And we're okay, fine. So we don't even have to communicate, we know.
Yeah.
But then it was like, no, you can't do a race with no one. Like, you just have to, you can do it with me, but other people, I don't think you'll be able. But he was wrong.
Was there a point where the two of you really had to kind of, what actually tested your, you know, kind of camaraderie and...
Like, was there a particular low point? Because these races...
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is we never had a low point at the same time.
Okay.
Which is good if both of us were low. I think we were there to support each other and kind of we didn't allow each other to be low at the same time. Because when you see someone that is feeling low, naturally you want to be stronger and more protective. Mm. So it didn't happen that we were low at the same time. The weather didn't help sometimes, like, well, obviously if it's raining and you're miserable. But I think when you experience a challenging situation, somehow you get this energy inside of you that you just want to
It's
stronger.
A survival instinct, survival. Right?
Totally, yeah. totally survival instinct. Yeah.
That kicks in, you're like, I have to stay alive, yeah, no matter
exactly.
what.
Yeah. Give me food.
We can't just stay here. The middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So ultimately you finished the race.
Yeah, we finished the race. We are still friends. Because that's what important. Usually people say, like, you know, if you survive the race and you're still friends,
success.
Then it's success. Yeah,
you can do it again.
Yeah, we're meeting today, actually. So. Still
and
friends.
I know these races aren't necessarily about where you place, but you guys actually, you know, as for a pair, where did you place?
So we thought we are third. But in the end, like a month after the race, they got the results, which was very surprising because the results were already out, but then they made official results.
Right.
So there were rumors that pair that got third in front of us, they didn't finish together race. So they were not kind of on the list of finishers. But after a month, they kind of, okay, these guys finished after all. So we were fourth. Yeah.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
Well, but to be honest, for the first time in my life, I was not really worried about the outcome of the race. Am I going to win or...
Right.
We just need to survive.
But it was an adventure. It was not a race. It was just an adventure.
One of the things that I love about ultra cycling is really, you know, the camaraderie amongst the competitors. I think, you know, people help each other out.
Totally.
You know, you're kind of in it together. You've all paid for this experience. Have you had the same across other sports? Do you think it's different with ultra cycling, other endurance sports?
I think it's pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. When we had a race briefing for the Trans-Balkans, I felt like an intruder because I'm coming from ultra running community. I was like,
an intruder.
Do I be?
There's a runner here, everyone. Yeah. She's like, over there.
Different
breed. They were like, this girl that trains CrossFit. Man.
All the ultra cyclists are like smoking, some of them. Like,
exactly.
Like, there's someone fitness here.
That was funny thing. Like, we went to the race briefing and I was like, oh my God, it feels like, I guess everyone was very nervous. Yeah. But at that point I was thinking like, oh my God, these cyclists are actually not as friendly as runners because ultra runners are all over the place, hugging, everything is super positive energy, everyone is happy. So I was like, uh-oh, like, that's not the same. Like, I don't know if I'm into cycling, but no, it was purely people were nervous.
Yeah, okay.
But as soon as the race started, that was absolute pleasure to consider myself to be a cyclist. Yeah. So it was really, really good.
I mean, obviously, I don't train at an elite level. Like, I'm an amateur runner and a cyclist, but you train at that level now. You train as an elite athlete. Do you see that there's an issue of sportsmanship in the elite community?
Yes, sometimes yes.
Right.
Definitely. Not throughout the, not every sport that I did, but sometimes you feel that, especially with women.
Really?
It's so strange. Like, I don't know, like, what do we have in ourselves sometimes to not be so friendly to other female competitors? Or maybe, well, I found that some ladies were kind of not really happy that you're winning and, you know, just trying to find a way why, you know, you won, but you didn't won in the right way, so I should be winning, or complaining about other females, like, they did this and they were cheating. And it's just kind of like, it got to the point that in this region, we had a lot of these kind of comments from the ladies that I at some point was like, okay, I don't think I want to do this anymore, mm-hmm. because I do not enjoy it all, because there are a lot of female competitors that are during the race, they're like, okay, this lady's cheating, my boyfriend is going to go around and just do the video of her.
Wow.
Well, man, relax.
Yeah.
If she's cheating for herself, like, you know, you just have to be better and that's it.
Mm-hmm, right.
Like, just focus on yourself. So there is a lot of these things. It was a lot in obstacle course racing,
right,
which I didn't enjoy at all. It's like, okay, maybe I just shift somewhere else. But then I also stopped looking at these things, like, okay, I don't care what you guys doing, I do my own thing. Mm-hmm. But I think we are not that supportive to other women, especially in the elite level. But it's only one nice word, talking to someone.
Yeah.
I think it can change things, because that's what I felt like when I was in Morzine. It's a very small field of elite mm-hmm. athletes, especially females. And, you know, like, I'm coming to the start line and I'm super excited, like, oh, I'm happy. And I remember there was one lady trying to attach something to her backpack. And I was like, do you mind if I can help you? Like, yeah. I was just really friendly. And she's like, she's ghosting me, like, okay, sorry. Like, it was like, oh, what a weird atmosphere. And in the race, I have this mindset that, you know, we're just here to have fun, because I actually came to have fun.
Right.
And you're supporting others, or, you know, talking to others. But people are really like, kind of, I mean, this is race. Like, we are serious here. So it's funny. But then I made friends with one lady in the race. And I really strongly believe that we should support each other a lot. Like, it's, why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Like, I admire so much everyone who is there with me racing, mm-hmm. especially people that are better than me. Like, why should they be jealous? Like,
I wonder why that
is.
I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's an issue of scarcity, because, you know, like, historically, we haven't had the same level of support that men typically get, you know, when it comes to women athletes. So maybe, hopefully, that'll change, you know,
but
as kind of.
I think it's our fault, because I see men supporting more each other than women supporting women.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the same feeling.
I think it's pretty much boardroom tactics, right? Like, even if, you know, if you see in companies here, like, if you're in an organization, it's very hard to find a community of supportive women, because I think the idea is that I have come to this level with great struggle because, you know, I have been overlooked for so many years. I cannot give this crown to anyone else, you know, and I have to be competitive at every stage. And if I try to help another woman, she may, like, surpass me at some point. So I think that mentality needs to be changed, because as a community, we can all, you know, kind of grow together and get that status.
I mean, personally, I haven't experienced that, but I think it would be mainly that mentality, but also the systems around it that create that mentality. You know, if why is there scarcity? You know, why is there a small pool of resources for us versus, you know, other people? But I think it is changing, you know,
it
ultimately.
Is, absolutely.
And that's, you know, one of our focuses as well, is to highlight stories of women to show.
And I think just ladies, like, more competitive, when they're more competitive, they're kind of more into themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even so, we still need encouragement.
Yeah.
Because it's so nice to encourage other
absolutely.
Women. Like, it's so nice to support each other. And if it starts from you, then maybe this lady that haven't supported other ladies, maybe she will do the same next time. Because it's such a good feeling to give someone a compliment and say, well
done. It makes a huge difference, you know? Like, it for someone like me, the encouragement that I get from someone I probably look up to, it changes my course of action, you know? It probably gives me that 1% extra courage to do something, 100%. You know?
Well, I'll take an example. For example, this race in Morzine I did, there was a lady from Portugal. She was behind me. I was second place most of the race. And the last 10 kilometer, she overtook me. And we just kind of were always together. We're not communicating a lot. And then we kind of started chatting. It was a really steep uphill. And she was so super nice. Mm-hmm. And she was behind me, but I felt she's stronger. And I was like, okay, go ahead, please, you know, said, no, stay behind. I said, no, you go. You have much more energy than me. I literally supported her. You go and crush it.
Yeah.
Because she was strong. Like, I was not, but that's okay. I shouldn't be jealous of her. Like, she should push.
Yeah.
And she finished the race. And after the race, she came to hug me. I was like, oh, thank you so much. It was so nice. Like, I wouldn't expect anyone to encourage me that way. But it was true. Like, it's heads down. Like, she deserves it. So why wouldn't I give her an encouragement? It's just, I think everyone deserves it.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, for someone who really wants to get into the sport of endurance, what advice do you have for them? Where do they start? Like, how do they start?
Just sign up for the hardest race you find.
Do something that totally frightens you.
No, well, it's a journey, as you guys know. Well, just start with something that is a bit scary, scares you a little bit, but just be brave, because if you think too much about, and you start doubting yourself, like start thinking about all the things that you cannot do and you're not able to do, why don't you just start, well, I might try. Well, even if you don't finish, so what? That's, you know, failing is part of the journey anyways. Mm-hmm. But if you never try, you will never know if you can do it.
Exactly.
And maybe you just get a friend and do it with a friend, because also training is a very important part of the journey.
Right.
And you get your confidence there, and then that's it.
Is there a challenge you wouldn't take on?
Yeah. If there's a hard one out there, Ivana's doing it.
I want to know what scares Ivana, because it seems like nothing.
I'm not really a big fan of heights. So okay. Everything that has to do with climbing, or, you know, just skydiving. And I did skydiving once. There was a surprise, but I don't particularly enjoy being on height, so I wouldn't do anything that has to do with that.
A final question to you is, I think this is something that we always think about, can grit be taught, or is it just innate? So, like, does it come with the package, or can it actually be taught to someone, or can it be learned?
Well, you definitely can learn that along the way. I do believe that it can be kind of part of your upbringing and what you see in your surroundings from your parents. I think can be built in your DNA, so to speak, but definitely it's not something that is only in your genes. It's something that you practice along the way. And as I just mentioned, maybe I didn't have it, but I built it along the way, because I also learned things about myself, and maybe just pushing that limit a little bit more and a little bit more and exploring things. I think it's just everyone can do it. It's just the matter of putting an effort and just practicing.
Great. Thank you so much, Ivana.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Wonderful chat with you today. Thank you
so much. You were such great hosts, both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, we ask that you please share it with family, teammates, friends,
and even frenemies, or share via social media. Please also leave us a review wherever you're listening to this podcast. 5 stars only.
And visit us on themedalset.com for more stories and resources.
Thanks again for listening.
Your support means the world to us.
This is The Medal Set.